that can extend a life. He's one that can open a womb. But everybody's listening now. He is the one that we read a little bit this morning about. He breathed life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. God created the woman we learned about this morning. He is in control, and he knows what's best, and he allows things to come into our lives. And so we started a series talking about stewarding our time, and then we talked about stewarding our thoughts, talked about stewarding a lot of different things so far, and tonight we're going to look at stewarding your trials, stewarding trials. You say, Pastor, how in the world can you steward something that you cannot control? And that's the idea tonight. We're going to look at how to receive those and how to use them for the glory of God. Now, a person who was a steward is something that's been given resources to look over and to manage. We've learned in the Bible that we're not our own. Once we're a Christian, we're bought with a price. This is not our lives. It is God's life, and he wants Christ to live through us. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see that trials do come into people's lives, and how we receive them, how we accept them, how we live through these trials, we can steward them and give God glory and God honor throughout these. And we're going to look here three different things. First of all, we're going to look at understanding trials. Secondly, we're going to talk about unwrapping the gifts we find in trials. And lastly, we're going to talk about unveiling the way to handle trials. Three different things tonight we're going to look at. We're going to start here in the book of Job, because as we think of the book of Job, we know a man who went through a trial, that's for sure. Went through more than one trial. And we're going to look at, and so we're going to try to get a good understanding here today. You know, I can't really understand or explain all the theology that's behind it, but I do know that it's true. God allows both good and bad to enter into our lives. Job here, we first meet Job in Job chapter 1, and what do we learn about him? He is the type of guy that probably most people would want to be like. The wealthiest man of all the East. He has everything in his heart, everything a heart could wish for. He has a close-knit family. He has great wealth. He has leadership in the community. He's respected by all who knows him. Yet one day he loses it all. He has this great trial that comes. He doesn't lose his own life. He doesn't lose his wife. But throughout the book, you can see that maybe he wished that he had lost his life, and maybe he wished that his wife would have had a different thought process when it came to the trial. But here in verses 9 and 10, I want you to see how the wife stewards the trial, but also how Job stewards the trial here. It says in Job chapter 2, verse number 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Now remember, we're not picking on Job's wife here. Job's wife, as we learned this morning, was created and made and brought into Job's life to help be his companion, to help also to complete him. And Job here is a stronger one when it comes to stewarding a trial. Job here, he does not throw in the towel. He does not turn around and blame God. Look what it says in Job chapter 10. He says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest of one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? And all this did Job not sin with his lips." The first thing I want us to understand when it comes to understanding trial is learning, shall we not receive evil? Learning how to accept the when the hard times come, when the trials come. And we're all good, we're all in when everything's going well, the bank account's full, got a vehicle we enjoy, got a house we enjoy, got the house of God full, when we got all the family members living right, we're all in for God. We're all in for lifting God's name up and praising the Lord. But the truth is, trials will come, and it's how we receive them. And that's what Job is saying to his wife. Hey, look, we've received all this goodness from God. Why can't we receive some of this trial too? Why can't we receive some of this evil? And it's all how, and it's acceptance. Now, it hurt. Job here, he loses his family, he loses his wealth, he loses so much, even his health, in just a matter of days. And trials do hurt, but Job himself said, "When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness." He was looking for something, but then came the darkness, yet trouble came. And Job, in this story here, he faces great trials. And no one chooses the trials. They invade our lives without invitation. But the question is, how will we steward something that we have no control over in the first place. And when we talk about stewarding trial, we're not talking about trying to control the trial. We're not talking about the other stewardship when we come to money and talk about budgeting your time, or when we're talking about stewarding, budgeting your finances, or when we're talking about stewarding our time and being a disciplined individual. It's not something that we can control. It's not something we can fix with a schedule, but rather it's a choice to receive the trials of life, realizing that God has allowed these things to happen. The trials of life, receiving with acceptance and yieldedness, so that God is able and free to work in your life and bring about good inside your trials. When we are receiving the trials at God's and the Father's hand, it's receiving it without resisting Him. It's trusting in Him. It's the ability to steward the trials by God's grace, by saying God's grace is sufficient. And throughout this whole process, He works miraculously in our life and can provide blessings. And we can learn. We can learn to accept these trials. When you think about the story of Job, what did he say? He says, look, we've received all this goodness. Then why can't we also receive the trials that come along? Why can't we receive the evil? Now, it's just not about Job here. There's another example in the Bible I'd like you to look at. And I want you to take your Bibles now and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and how he looked at the trials. We're going to go back to Job in a little while, but another man with the testimony and faced endurance and faced trials with endurance to keep on serving the Lord. He didn't just give up. He didn't just throw in the towel when hardships came. He was serving God. He learned how to steward these trials. And God got glory from it. And Paul learned from these things. Remember last week, we talked about stewarding our testimony. We talked about how Lot was laughed at because of the fact he did not steward his testimony, but instead his son-in-laws laughed at him because he did not take advantage of the testimony he could have had amongst his son-in-laws and amongst the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul here was an example we looked at last week. When we looked at his testimony, at the end of his life, he could say he was free from the blood of all men. He could say, none of these things move me. He could go to Timothy and he could say, I fought a good fight. He could tell Timothy, hey, the things you've learned, he says, follow after. And that's he stewarded his testimony. But Paul here stewards trials too. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. Now, I know that sometimes when we read this passage of Scripture, we just pass over it. But as we're reading this, I want you to consider the trials, the hardship, the physical beatings that Paul had taken in his life. 2 Corinthians opens up this book, and Paul's not bragging in his book. He's not boasting. Instead, the church of Corinth, there was a group that had entered this church, and they were trying their best to get people not to listen to Paul. And Paul begins in all throughout the chapters to explain his authority as an apostle, his authority, how God has used him. And also now he's explaining about his sincerity. And in fact, he's faced all these trials and he continues on. It's out of a love. He's facing these trials. He's stewarding these trials to be able to be used by God. Look what it says in verses 24 through 28. This is Paul's testimony. And it says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, whipped. And he says, not just once, five different times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often, and perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. And weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He was saying, despite all the things I already deal with on a daily basis, these are just some of the things that I was put through. Can you imagine being whipped? Can you imagine being stoned? Can you imagine shipwrecked over and over? Paul is saying in his life here, he faced trials. And Christian, you are going to face some hardships. You are going to face some trials in your life. How are you going to take those things? Now look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul, once again, is mentioning here another one of his trials. And it's talking about this thorn in the flesh he had. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. He says, less and less I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn was. Some speculate that it was the Judaizers that would follow after him and try to disrupt his ministry. Some would say it's because of this problem he had with his eyes. And we know there's some spots in the scriptures where he refers to an eye problem. We don't really know what it is. I lean towards the eye problem. But here it says that where the problem comes from, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now this is the Apostle Paul, this great Christian that had been in all these meetings, had been serving God ever since he's been saved. He goes to God three different times and says, Lord, please take this away. But the Lord says that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, I'm going to let you continue on with that trial. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What he's saying here is that you are going to see value and benefits from this trial if you will receive it and take it as a grace that God is giving you. Most gladly, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, okay, if I'm going to learn something from me, he says, I will glory in it so that way the power of Christ will rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, I've been facing all these trials, but I'm willing to take these trials on if it means that the power of Christ can rest in me, if it means I can learn from these trials and these hardships. Not only do I want you to learn that we should learn to receive that we're going to receive evil with good, but also that trials can be painful. But let's look at who gives us the trials anyway. Who gives us these trials? Paul here, what does he say? He says in verse number 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Now, I want you to think about this. Who is the trial coming from? Who gave the trial? It was Satan's messenger's way described here. You know, God had allowed, and once again, the hope we have in the scriptures and something that we need to learn about trial, our source's hope is that God, everything Satan does has to filter through God. God has to allow the trial. Remember, you go back to the story of Job in Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Satan comes before God, and we're going to look at that in a second. And he asks to be able to God to remove the hand of protection away from Job and allow him to put his hand on Job. And here Paul is saying, look, the messenger of Satan came along, he gave the thorn in the flesh to buffet me. Now, this word buffet, it means to strike with a fist, to give one a blow. Now, I want you to picture this and imagine this. This is what Satan is trying to do in your Christian life. Satan is sending this trial. Satan is trying to send this test in your life. And what he is trying to do is he is trying to hit you hard. He is trying to hit you. He's trying to buffet you. He's trying to pound on you. This is what he wants to do. He wants to knock you out from your Christian walk. He wants to let these trials and these testings get you off your Christian walk, get you away from serving God. He wants to do whatever he can to be able to take you off the path. And that's what Paul says. The messenger of Satan came along to buffet me, to give me a blow that's going to cause me to stop serving. But God came alongside during the trial and taught me something. Now, I tell you, there is trials that's going to be in your life. And these trials are things that you can handle. We're going to look at that in a little while, that God can teach you something through the trials if you will learn to steward them. If you will learn, hey, look, there are going to be times when I'm going to receive evil. There are going to be times when I receive trials. I got to learn that because I have all these good things. Yes, sometimes I'm going to face some bad things. And yes, when they come, they're going to hurt. And yes, let's remember where they came from. And I tell you, it's much easier. Take it if we think it came from God. It's a little harder when we say that, hey, this trial and this thing is coming from Satan. But if we look at it from this point, Satan is trying to do whatever he can to knock you off your Christian walk. Then we can say, you know what? I can make it through this trial. If Satan is using this as a way to tempt me and try to force me off from what God wants me to do, if it's Satan trying to buffet me, I'm going to stand strong and I'm going to keep on going. If you want to turn back to Job in chapter number 1, you're welcome to. If you just like to listen, you're welcome to do that too. In Job chapter number 1, I'll give you a second to get there if you want to. God, Satan comes before with the sons of God, and he comes before the Lord, and Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" This is verse number 9. And Job 1:10, it says, Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. What Satan is saying there, hey, look, Job's got all this good stuff. If you would just put your hand on him and you do something to hurt him, he's going to curse you. He's saying he's going to bow down. He's going to give up. He's going to give in. And he's saying, if you just allow this trial to come. And Christian, I want you to understand that, yes, trials are hard. Yes, trials can be painful. But remember who the trials come from. They come from the devil. They come from Satan. And they come. And what is he trying to do? He is trying to hurt you. He's trying to destroy your Christian walk. He's walking around as a lion. He's seeking whom he can devour. And if you look at it this way, you say, hey, look, I'm not going to give into the devil. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm not going to give in to this trial and this temptation. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw the towel in, because we have a source, our source of hope. Now, that's the fourth thing I want you to see. Not only is it the fact that we have to receive the evil with the good, and that trials can be painful, and who gives the trials to us, but we have a source of hope. Say, Pastor, what's our source of hope? It's pretty easy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and we know all things work together for good. You think about that. If that promise came from a human being, you would look at them and say, you're crazy. Because they don't have power to make things work together for good. But God himself is penning and writing under the inspiration. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, and we know all things work together to them that for good, to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. And you know that word all things, that can include loss, that can include physical pain, that can include emotional suffering, that can include mental anguish, that can include slander, that can include loneliness, cancer, persecution, that can include when people treat you wrong, all things. And he even includes the messenger of Satan when he comes to buffet you. So as a steward of our trials, remember God himself has promised to all of us who love him that he will take the good from the bad, that he can take the beauty from ashes. He can take joy from even a heartbreak. And when we choose to receive with a yielded acceptance these trials and trusting God's goodness, you know what happens? We learn to see that all things work together for good. But we have to learn to steward those trials. We have to learn that, hey, these are things that are coming into my life. How am I going to react to them? How am I going to steward these things? Yes, sometimes they are painful. And yes, sometimes they directly come from the devil. But we have a hope and a faith that God can take whatever it is we're going through and turn that out for good. Praise the Lord. Not just whatever. He can take all of that and turn that out for good. Second thing I want you to see. The second thing is also unwrapping the gifts of a trial. Unwrapping the gifts of the trial. You can go ahead and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. They say, gifts? Yes, gifts of a trial. You know, sometimes when you're a kid, you might sneak around and open up your gifts ahead of time. Have any kids ever did that? I know some of you adults have done that. So there's a member in my family who's done that before. Now, if it was from one of our kids, we definitely would have we'd take the gift back. But it's my wife. So. She even told her boys, she said, I would go and I would unwrap them and I would play with them and see what it is and put it back and wrap it back up. I don't know if she ever told her parents that or not, but she used to do that. But if our boys did that, I simply would just take the gift back and say, hey, look, you lost the privilege of getting the gift, or give it away to somebody else. But there is gifts inside trials. There are things that we can learn to be blessings. You know, sometimes these trials we would never ask for. But if we look back on our lives, when the hard times have come, those are many times the times when we learn the most. When we've been faced with a sickness, or when we're faced with a death, or when we've been faced with a trial that's put right in front of us, we learn some things from it. We are forced to depend upon God and put where our faith is established and have stability in our life. And Paul here himself, he shows three different gifts that you can unwrap and you can look at. But many times when there's a trial, maybe it comes in black paper and we go and we say, hey, I don't want to unwrap that gift. I don't want anything to do with that trial. I don't want anything to do with what God's trying to teach me. I'd rather be bitter. I'd rather be angry. I don't want to have anything to do with what the Lord is trying to show me in this trial. I'd much rather go over and sulk in the corner or go over and complain. But it's unwrapping the gift that God is trying to teach you through this trial. Even in Job, he eschewed evil. He was a perfect man, meaning that he was mature. He had all those great different things. At the end, he says he had abhorred himself. He repented in dust and ashes. He had saw himself compared to God, and he learned so much through his trials. And that's what Paul is saying here also. He learned much through his trials. Think about some of the things he learned. Think of some of the things that he unwrapped during his trial. The first thing he unwrapped was the gift of humility. The gift of humility. Paul, if any man could boast, it would have been Paul. We've seen his resume before already in Philippians chapter 3 weeks earlier. But here in 2 Corinthians 12, look at verses 2 through 4. He begins to describe the fact that he actually got to see the third heaven. Look what it says. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He had gone up to heaven. He had seen it. And you know what? If it was us, if we had gone up to heaven and seen it, you know what we would have done? We probably would have written a book about it. We would have probably sold the movie rights about it. We probably would have been on the talk show circuit. We would have tried to benefit from this, being able to see heaven. We would have tried to gain notoriety because we got to go to heaven. Not Paul. Paul says here in this treasure that he has and the gifts he learns from his trials, he learned it in verse number 7. He says, lest I should be exalted above the measure through the abundance of the revelations. He says, unless I thought too highly of myself because of the fact I got to saw heaven. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. First gift he learned, he was humility. The first gift he learned was humility. He says that God gave me this thorn in the flesh so that way I would be humble. God is using the buffeting of Satan to work the sweet fruit of humility. Now, you might be able to fake humility, but you cannot manufacture it. It is a grace developed as the process of us seeing our frailty and trusting in God's strength. It is only when we see how weak we are and how strong God is that God graciously humbles us through trials and teaches us that the problems, difficulties, and heartaches remind us that we are completely and utterly and totally dependent upon God. When we are in a trial, one of the gifts that we can truly learn is the fact that we are supposed to be humble. And that's when we go to a doctor and they tell us we have cancer, what do? The only thing we can do, we turn to God and pray. We call our prayer chain because we want people to pray to God because we learned that we're human and that we just can't fix things all the time. And see, that's what the trials of life does. There's a gift that you can steward the trial by saying, you know what, Lord, this has helped me recognize how much I need you. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, I should be exalted above measure. He says, no, but instead God gave me this trial. But this trial turned out being a gift for him. Second gift that he has is stability. The second gift he has is stability. You know, trials reveal the paradox of strength. In the midst of adversity, we feel so unstable. It seems like we would collapse under the weight of suffering. And yet during these times, God infuses us with his strength. He provides a stability that's beyond human comprehension. Have you ever seen somebody that had the peace of God on them, even though they're going through a great trial? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says in these verses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, I'll go through the trial. I'll go through the hardship because I know that God is the one that will keep me stable through all these things. When we try to make everything work together for our good, when we try to be in charge of our trials, when we try to figure everything out and not learn things from God, we are very unstable people. We probably, many times our emotions are pushed and pressed down inside. We don't deal with the issues that we need to. Instead, we keep on having some type of false hope. But the real hope is found in God and the stableness that he can give you despite the trials and despite the hardship. Think about what the Bible says. The trials are given to purify us. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He is purifying us. He is saying, look, that my strength is made perfect in weakness. He is saying here that he is purifying the believer with his own strength. He says, is made perfect when you are weak. That's when you see my strength coming through. You think about throughout the Bible, God uses fiery trials all the time to purify our faith in similar fashion to how a goldsmith will use a furnace to purify his precious metal. Even Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold. When you go through the trial, when you go through the furnace, God stables you with his strength and his abilities. And you realize that it's not about your strength at all. But when we are completely weak and completely dependent, that is when God can show his strength through us. That's a gift. To be stable when everyone else is frantic. To have trust and hope when everyone else is frazzled. It's a gift from God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says the trial of our faith is even more valuable than gold, because gold's gone someday. But the trial of your faith is something that can establish you and help you in your Christian walk. Third thing I want you to see about unwrapping the gift of the trial is the ability. The ability. Through our trials, God gives us humility and stability, but he also uses them to give us our supernatural ability. It's through God's strength that we find the power to carry out his work. Paul says God's power was so sufficient that he said he was willing and gladly to rather glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. You know, we are born proud people. We think God is dependent upon us and dependent upon our abilities. But the trials of our life that takes us out of control are the one that strips us of all of our perceived abilities and put ourselves completely on God and his ability. You think about it, who did God use many times? He used people who were defeated and realized they could not do things. Think about the dominant things that Abraham had done after he had been defeated. Think about David after he had done wrong. God still used him after he had gone through the trial. Think about Jonah, the trial he had gone through, and God chose to use him. Esther, and we think about John Mark. We think about Mary Magdalene. All these different people, through weakness, God reveals his power, and God shows and demonstrates himself and the ability that he has. The Bible even says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That ye are able. That word able is talking about the ability that God gives you to overcome whatever trial you have. You think about that. He says that there is nothing in your life that you cannot rise above. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, I don't know what the trial is that you're going through. And maybe you say, hey, life's good. There is nothing going on, nothing bad going on in my life. The trial is coming. You live for God, you're going to suffer persecution someday. You live godly in your life, you're going to have a trial sometime sooner or later. Things may be good for a while, but the trials will come. And God says through these trials, he can teach you humility, he can teach you stability, and he can teach you ability. He can give you the power to do things that you never thought you could do, to see things that you never thought you saw, and to be able to help win people to Christ that you never thought you could win to Christ, be able to do the roles that God has given us. This morning we talked about the family a little bit. We talked about the husband and the wife in Genesis and the Garden of Eden, all those different things. And we looked at that. You say, Pastor, I can never be that to my husband, or I can never be that to my wife, that Adam and Eve were to one another. You can be. And you say, Pastor, it's a trial. Sometimes God is trying to use those trials to teach us to be humble, to show us the ability and the stability we have in God's strength. But the problem is we try to do it in our own strength. Third thing I want you to see is unveiling how to deal with trials. The unveiling of how to deal with trials. Now, the Bible's full of things how to deal with trials. There's three simple things I want you to take from here, and we'll be finished. The first thing I want you to see, what are you supposed to do when trials come? We need to trust his way. We need to just trust in God. Knowing that God gives grace and experiencing the reality of his power are worlds apart. Knowing that God gives grace, talking about how God gives grace, and experiencing that are two completely different things. I've gone and sat with people in nursing homes, funeral homes, hospital beds, or just in people's houses. And their lives are completely turned upside down, and I tell them that God's grace is sufficient. And they might say they believe it, they might shake their head yes, but for them to experience it is a completely different thing. Saying you believe something and then trusting God that he can handle and do it, it's two completely different things. What are you doing with your trials? Have we turned them over to God? Are we really trusting in him? James 1, 2, and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." See, patience requires faith. It means that we are willing to remain under the burden which he has placed upon us, trusting that God can take all the work and make good out of it. Faith trusts God, even when you cannot trace him. Psalms 31:15 has a little phrase in it that I love. He says, "My times are in thy hand." My times are in thy hand. What the psalmist was saying, he said, look, the times of my life, the moments of my life, every part of me, everything I'm going through, they're in God's hand. And are we trusting him? And here's the point is, what are we going to do with our trials? How do we deal with them? The first thing is we trust God with them. We stop just saying God's grace is sufficient and give that trial over to God. Give that sickness, give that heartache, give that bitterness, give that broken relationship, give every part over to God and say, God, my times are in your hand. This is yours. Do what you want with it. Not only is it about trusting God, but it's also seeking God's wisdom. Seeking God's wisdom. God's wisdom is available to us. I don't know about you, but sometimes we're looking for wisdom. We're talking about the lawnmower tonight, and we're going to take a vote on buying a new lawnmower. And I went to people who I thought knew a little bit, and I know that probably many more people knew about lawnmowers than I asked, but I went to some people in the church that I thought would be familiar with it. I was looking for wisdom. I had mentioned a couple of times that people had opinions. Please come tell me. And I didn't get too many opinions about it, but I got a few people. But I went and talked to people who I thought would be intelligent about it, people who have used it before and people that might have knowledge. I was seeking wisdom. I was looking for help. You know what? God says in his word, we can have wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He says, look, all you have to do is ask. So wisdom comes through prayer. Wisdom also comes through his word. Remember that's the part of the Bible in Proverbs 2, verses 2 through 6. He says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God wants to give you the wisdom to handle the trial you're going through. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I have no idea what to do. You come to talk to me. I say, look, I don't have any idea what you should do, but I know who does know. That's God. And that's why you need to seek for him through prayer, and you seek through him through his word. And the Bible does say, through wise counsel. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counselors. You know, this is something that's true, that you can find God's wisdom, but you have to be willing to pray. We talk about, oh, I need God's leading. Oh, I need God's help. Well, in Proverbs chapter 2, in his word, it says you got to search for it. You got to seek for it. Do you really want it? Because you had to pray about it. You had to seek counsel. But we're prideful people. When we're going through a trial, we think we can handle it all. But the Bible says if you're looking for wisdom, how to deal with something, pray. Look in his word and seek out godly counsels. Say, who's the godly counsel? Well, I tell you, if you're praying and reading your Bible, God will lead and direct you to the right person. He'll lead you and direct you. Hopefully there's some type of spiritual person in your life that you can look to and trust. I encourage you to do that. But ask God who to talk to. You never know who God might use to be a blessing to you in your life. The third thing, how to deal with trials is simply resting in God's love. Resting in God's love. A few weeks ago, we talked about stewarding our thoughts, and we talked about how the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's really good preaching, but how in the world can I have that peace? That peace seems so far away. There seems like I cannot get it. Are you resting in God? That means laying off everything and taking your hands off and saying, God, I trust in your love. God, I'm seeking wisdom from you, and I'm resting in your love. Romans 8:28, we talked about, all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. The Bible says in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, the Word of God says we can relax and allow God to take over. Now, rest is something that some of us struggle to get. And as some of you, I've heard, especially as you get older, and I'm not looking forward to it, you say it's hard to sleep through the night anymore. You have to get up to use the bathroom, or you have to aches and pains. You tell me you can only get 5 hours or 6 hours of sleep if you're lucky, or you might be laying there for 8 hours. You just can't get any good rest anymore. I know some of you have told me that. And I tell you, that's what the Bible's saying here. Is that we learn to relax and rest in God and God's promises. God, he'll take care of the trial. He'll teach you the things that he wants you to learn. Remember, his will is better than your wants. You might want to be out of the trial. You might want to say, hey, Lord, remove this thorn. Lord, hey, fix this. I've heard people say, why wouldn't God want my child to get healthy? Why wouldn't God allow my parent to live longer? Why would God take somebody at such a young age? You know what? Our wants, they're not as comparable to God's will. See, God's will is better than our want every day of the week. And sometimes his will means that we have a trial that we go through. But he's trying to teach and show us something. The question is, are we opening the gifts? You say, Pastor, it doesn't seem like a gift. Remember, everything filters through God. God sees and allows everything that happens, and God loves you. And God is able to help you through the trial you're going through. Remember, in the darkest hours and days of our lives is when we learn to depend on God, and we learn that his strength is perfect when we truly are weak. That's when we depend the most on him. So, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with my trials? You're supposed to remember some things. Where they come from. Remember also that God is trying to teach you something through those. And remember how to deal with them. You know, trust in God. Relax in him. Seek out his wisdom. He's willing to give it to you. And he's willing to help you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.